If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I don't know if you noticed, I'm going to, not now, but during the preaching service today, I am going to try to video and see what happens. I'm going to just try to see how the quality is and see how that position is and see how the sound is and everything, just so you know what's going on. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice Paul says in verse 12, well, let's look up to verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee, or dwelleth in us. I want to notice a couple of times. We've been talking the last few weeks about the word commit and how that word is used, and sometimes it's translated commend. For example, if we looked at Psalms, and in the Psalms, it says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And then when Jesus was on the cross, he said, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And we were looking at that, those two words and how they interact and how they're similar and what the word means, to commit, which means to entrust and to give over to someone, to actually lay at someone's feet, commit to. And so we looked at it, and in verse 12 here, Paul had committed something unto the Lord, and we talked about that. We've talked about how that when we're saved, we commit our salvation, we commit our soul, we commit it to the Lord for His keeping. And that's what Paul was talking about here. But then notice also in this passage that we read, in verse 14, it was something committed to Timothy. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so there's another commit here. And I want to look at that. I want to look at, first off, up in verse 11. There's another word that's used here that kind of means the same thing as commit. And in verse 11, Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Appointed is another word that can be interchanged with commit. Ordained is also another one. It's something that was given to Paul. It's something that is his. It's something given to him. I know another time that this word appointed is used is it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So there's an appointment. There's something appointed to Paul, and oftentimes he uses this as something that's committed unto him. And I want to just look at what was committed to Paul. Paul, we read in 1 Timothy that Paul had committed something to the Lord. He says, "I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him." But I also want us to see today that there were some things that was committed to Paul by the Lord. You see, when we trust Christ, when we become members of the body of Christ, not only are we committing something to the Lord, our salvation, but something then is also committed unto us, given to us. And there were some things that was committed and given to the Apostle Paul, and I want to just look at that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. A dispensation of the gospel, Paul said, was committed unto him. It was given to him. There was something specific. The word dispensation, oftentimes we get the word dispensation and we think of it as a period of time. And a dispensation is not necessarily a period of time in which God is doing something. The word actually means to dispense. The dispensation, to dispense something, to give out something. And there was something committed to Paul that he was to dispense, and that dispensing was of the gospel. But it was committed unto him. In fact, it was something that was given specifically to him. Turn over to Galatians. Turn back a couple books over to your right to Galatians, and look at Galatians chapter 1. There was something that was given specifically to Paul, and it's important for us to understand, but a lot of us, what we do, and this wouldn't be anything new for the majority of us here, but it's important to understand that Paul was the first to receive this gospel. That's why it was committed unto him. A dispensation of the gospel was committed unto him. It was given to him specifically from Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, notice verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was something that he had not received from anybody else except from Jesus Christ himself. It was a new gospel. It was something that Paul was on the ground floor of. In fact, hold on to Galatians and turn back to 1 Corinthians and look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 10, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul said, I laid the foundation. And then if anybody's going to build, it's going to be on the foundation. I've laid the foundation, it says, and another buildeth thereon. In other words, if there's any more building that has to be done, it will be built upon the foundation which was given to the Apostle Paul. Now, if he wasn't the first to preach this gospel, and the gospel, he plainly tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the gospel that I preached unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. This gospel was preached by Paul first. It was given to Paul by revelation of Jesus Christ, and he said, I laid the foundation, and let every man build thereon that foundation. And so it was something that was committed specifically to him. Notice, keep holding on to Galatians, but turn over to back over to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul first. He's on the ground floor. You ever, that term a lot of time is used if I'm starting a business and I want you to invest in my business. I'm going to say, you know, invest in my business. You'll be on the ground floor. Well, what does that mean? That means you'll be the first. You'll be one of the first. Paul was first. He laid the foundation. And then that gospel was committed unto him to share out. Now, a lot of times we feel like we're alone, and a lot of times we feel like we're the only people or the only one preaching the gospel. But think about how Paul was. He really was the only one that was preaching this gospel. He was first. It was committed unto him. It was given to him. It was something that was committed. In fact, go back to Galatians and look in chapter 2. Now, the reason, and if you read the book of Galatians, the first two or three chapters in the book of Galatians, Paul is really just having to prove himself to these Galatians. If you read the chapter, and I don't have time to read it all, but if you want to read the book of Galatians this week, read it, and Paul is really just proving who he is and what his apostleship is. That's why when he says in Galatians, where we read in chapter 1, that the gospel that he preached was not after man, for he neither was taught it but by revelation of Jesus Christ, the reason he's having to tell them that is because he had preached the gospel unto these Galatians, but then they had fallen prey to false doctrine and had gone back into the law and was telling people they had to be circumcised, and there was all sorts of bad doctrine going on. And so Paul is coming back in this book and he's telling them, hey, it's my gospel. You're to follow me. You're to do. This is the gospel that saved you. I didn't get this gospel from Peter. I didn't get this out of the law. This didn't come from the Old Testament. This is something that was given specifically to me. And so during chapter 1 and chapter 2, he is going through and explaining that. In fact, look in chapter 2. All through chapter 1, he's talking about how that he didn't really have any contact with Peter and them. He tells them, in fact, before, look in chapter 1, he said, notice verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother. Now these things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. In other words, he's saying he went 3 years and then he went to Jerusalem. He spent 15 days in Jerusalem. He didn't have any dealings with Peter and James and John and any of those other than that little bit of time there. But then notice verse chapter 2. Then 14 years later, he spent 15 days with Peter in Jerusalem after 3 years, and then 14 years later, he goes back to Jerusalem. Now, he's doing that because he's proven to these Galatians that Paul had something different. Something different was committed to Paul. Then 14 years, verse 1 again, after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain. He went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel he was preaching. Now, why would he, if he and Peter and James and John, and they're all preaching the same gospel all this time, these 14 years, why would Paul have to communicate to them the gospel he was preaching? He wouldn't have to communicate it. They would be in one accord in that gospel. But he preached. He told them, this is the gospel that was revealed unto me. This is the gospel. Now, notice verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. In other words, the gospel Paul's preaching obviously didn't have anything to do with circumcision or the law. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. With who? Who's he writing to? Galatians, right? What Paul's saying there is, when he went up 14 years later and met with Peter and them, he brought Titus with him. Titus wasn't circumcised. Paul's making a point here in the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 15, that I'm not circumcising. It's not part of the program. I communicated unto them that gospel. And he says, I did it, he says here, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Why? Because Paul spends a lot of the book of Galatians showing these Galatians that they're not under the law and that circumcision profiteth nothing. How would he be able to explain that to the Galatians if he then had circumcised Titus when he was compelled to do so in Acts chapter 15? It would have made the gospel that he was preaching of none effect. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, they didn't have anything new, any new revelation from God. They didn't have anything new that Paul didn't already know. But Paul had something new for them. He communicated unto them that gospel. But notice now verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was what? Committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. There was a difference there. They understood that difference. Paul had a gospel that was committed unto him called the gospel of the uncircumcision. And he went and preached that gospel. And he's making that point here. The point I went through all of that to prove is that Paul had something new and how difficult that must have been for him. He's going about preaching a whole new gospel. That puts a whole new light on Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? Paul had something whole brand new. He was telling people that the death of Jesus Christ, His crucifixion, paid for sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day for our justification. Something hadn't been taught. You see, to most of the people that Paul went to, most of the Gentiles, if they had even heard of Jesus Christ before Paul, what would they have heard? They had heard he was a rebel, that he was an insurrectionist, that he was causing uprisings, that he was a troublemaker, and that Because of that, he was put to death by the Romans. That's what they would have heard. So what's Paul going to do? Paul's going to these same people and saying, have you ever heard of Jesus? Some of them say, no. The ones that would say, yeah, I heard about somebody that was causing a lot of trouble and they had to put him to death. And then Paul says, well, guess what? That very man was the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins, and then he was buried and he rose again the third day. And if you'll believe on him, you can be saved. Imagine. You know, a lot of times when we read our Bible, we read it as if everything's happening right now and everybody knows everything that we know now. That's not how it was. They didn't have internet. They didn't have TV. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have all this stuff. And so Paul's going and preaching a gospel that was totally foreign to... Think about these Ephesians that he went to. And they wouldn't have known. And he preaches to them. And it's committed to him. It's something that was given to him to preach. It was committed unto him. Notice in Colossians. Look over in Colossians. Notice in verse Colossians 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He had something he had to fulfill. There was suffering that had to be done to get this gospel out. So what did Paul do? Notice how this worked here. It was verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. It was given to Paul. And I'll put God here, and God gave it to Paul. Paul, he says, give it to you. And that's us. That's us. Notice in Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Notice this progression here. And I'm going to close it up and we'll hopefully finish this up next week. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God which is given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Notice verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. Why does it stop at you? What's next? Word. U-word. Wonder why. What does the suffix word mean? Well, if you put a T-O on it, what does toward mean? To go in that direction, right? Right? You go towards something. What does that mean? That's the direction you're going. You're going toward it. Well, U-word indicates a direction. The W-A-R-D at the end indicates a direction in which it's going. And what that implies is then it doesn't stop with you. It continues going word. Going word. Going past you towards something else. In other words, you get the gospel. You get that gospel. You get the truth. You get the doctrine that was committed to Paul. And then it doesn't just end with you. You've been committed to it as well. Go, and I'm going to finish up. Turn back to 1 Timothy, where we read earlier. And I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we started this morning. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hold fast the... What's the context? The context is the sound words. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me. That good thing which was committed unto thee. The sound words, the doctrine, the gospel that he had heard, it's now been committed to Timothy. It's something that's given to him. So what does he say? Skip down to chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that thou hast heard of me. Well, that's what he just said the sound words were in verse 13, isn't it? Verse 13 of chapter 1, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Sound words. And the things that thou hast heard of me. Sound words. Among many witnesses, the same what? Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So what do? When you share the gospel, when you show someone that Paul is their apostle and that the doctrine for today is found in Romans through Philemon, you're committing unto them sound words. You're giving it to them. You're laying it at their feet. You're giving it out. It's going to you and then word. It's going on. It's passing it on. That's what we're to be doing. Okay? So next week I want to look at this a little bit more and go into a little bit more detail about how we do that. Okay? All right. You